The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The gospel reading that we just read is one that churches have used in a particularly effective way over the centuries to hurt one another in the name of obedience to Scripture. This passage is used to support various kinds of church discipline, like shunning in the Amish tradition and excommunication in other branches of the church. And Carol and I had personal experience with the application of this passage in a church we attended many years ago. There was a member of that church who was mentally unstable and a very difficult person, as people sometimes are. And he had begun to speak publicly against the church and make false accusations and criticize the pastors and the elders. And so the church, in obedience, followed the step-by-step process outlined right here in Matthew chapter 18. They went to the person privately, and then they went in a small group, and finally they brought the matter before the whole church. And knowing the people involved, I am sure that they intended to proceed in a loving manner. But when the person continued to refuse to apologize or to stop what they were doing, the church leadership felt it had no choice but to publicly excommunicate them. They expressed genuine sorrow, but they just couldn't see any other way to go. And that meeting of excommunication was one of the most painful meetings I've ever been at. But I'm convinced that as a church, we acted in a way that did violence to this person and to their family and to the church as a community, and that we damaged the witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the wider community. I believe now, and it's always easier to see everything in hindsight, but I believe that it was a case of good, faithful people who sincerely desired to act in obedience to God, who made a very bad decision, a wrong decision. And I feel sure of that for several reasons, but the obvious one is that the action we took bore very bad fruit. Especially now, at this distance of many years, with my 20/20 hindsight, I can see that rather than bringing this individual to repent of what they were doing and to reconcile with the church, the end result was that we alienated, along with them, their whole family, who were blameless in the situation and who were very vulnerable people in a lot of ways, including financially. By cutting off one sinner, we did great harm to several other people in ways that were felt for years, I think possibly even down to this day. And that is what happens when we apply the word of God as a law and forget the overarching law of love that supersedes and informs every law. We overlooked the words that we read today from Romans. Love does no harm. Literally, love works no evil to its neighbor. Therefore, love fulfills the whole law. Paul says it even more strongly in the second letter to the Corinthians. He contrasts the law of righteousness by works, the law of the letter is what he calls it, with the law of the Spirit, which is the good news of grace. He says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Paul calls the law the ministry of death. Love is always the greater law, and we always have to take great care to discern the way of love from the way of heartless obedience. Jesus said these words that we read today because there are times in the church when one member sins against another member. But we have to read them and we have to put them into practice, as we should do with every word of God, as a way of loving one another rather than as a means of controlling one another. Jesus is telling the disciples, what do you do if someone, a brother or sister of the church, is doing harm to you? It goes without saying, which is why Jesus doesn't even bother to say it right here, though it comes up later in this same passage. But it goes without saying that our first action is to forgive. Forgive us our trespasses, Jesus taught us to pray, as we forgive all those who trespass against us. So from the very start, even if we have been wrong, God calls on us to forgive. But love also seeks reconciliation. So from the act of forgiveness, we're supposed to go to our brother or sister one-on-one to try to work things out. We aren't to go telling everybody and try to get our friends on our side, which is a very human tendency. If we can work things out privately, the least harm is done to the community as well as to the people involved in the dispute. If we're still being hurt by the person, we might need to go to another member of the community and ask for help. More witnesses can help avoid a standoff when it's my word against your word. And it might even be that the whole community needs to be brought in to try to reconcile one person with their brother or sister. This is just a practical, down-to-earth passage. But then there are times when reconciliation doesn't work, and when the love and the forgiveness is all on one side, and even with forgiveness, the relationship can't be mended, at least for now. Then Jesus tells us, let this brother or sister be to you like a Gentile or a tax collector. In other words, there are times when you have to let go of that relationship because it's broken beyond human repair. And there's no relationship that's broken beyond repair by God, but on the human level, it happens. And when it does, we have to let it go. This passage gives the church the authority to release someone who's been wrong from the burden of fruitless effort, of continually trying to reconcile where there's no hope. The community of the church, even though it's made up of faulty human beings, is intended to have the collective wisdom and the divine authority to declare that for the time being at least, everything that can be done has been done. And the church has the authority to loose the bonds of guilt and to bind the power of accusations with the authority of heaven. Jesus says, what you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven, and what you set free on earth has been set free in heaven. It's a life-giving authority. Just as an example, that a church can declare to a person whose spouse has refused all efforts to heal their marriage, that this person can be set free from being shackled to what is only a corpse of the former union. We know that Scripture says that marriage is intended to be a lifetime commitment, but there's grace for those who find themselves in what has become a hopeless situation. That's the kind of power this passage gives to the church. Not power to punish, not power to condemn, but power to heal, power to set free, power to protect the helpless, and all by the law of love that seeks all reasonable reconciliation before letting go. Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. But it is possible to put the word of God into practice in ways that do harm rather than ways that do good. There's that verse, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And when the church uses the word of God to condemn, when it uses the word of God to tell a gay teenager that he's an abomination, when it uses the word of God to tell a woman in an abusive marriage that it's her duty to stay in that relationship, when it uses the word of God to defend racism or greed, as the Christian slaveholders of our nation use God's word to support their right to own slaves, anytime the people of God use his word to condemn or to control their brothers and sisters, then they are like a little child with a chainsaw. Everyone gets hurt. And then the church has chosen to be ministers of death rather than ambassadors of reconciliation. The law of the Spirit of life has set us free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And in the freedom of the Spirit, we have one, only one, gloriously outstanding debt toward one another, and that is to love each other. Owe no one anything, Romy just read this, except to love, for love is the fulfillment. Love is the perfection of the whole law. So we need to use our freedom and the authority given to us as God's church to love rather than to control, and to set free rather than to judge, to show mercy rather than to find fault, and to bring forth life rather than to pronounce sentence of death. Paul wrote, "If possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men." Human beings, being human and all, there will be disputes and there will be conflict in this world. Marriages will fail, friends will betray one another, and even in the church, this happens. Until the kingdom of God comes in all its fullness and all sins are healed and all relationships are made right. And God has given this community that we are, real authority in this in-between time to declare forgiveness and to mediate in situations where one member has wronged another, even to the point of discerning where the wrong is beyond reconciliation. But I am very, very thankful that we are not called upon to execute judgment, even on the one who has done wrong. Paul wrote, "It is God who justifies. Who are we to condemn? Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled a whole law."